Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your Rosh Chodesh of the 8th month. We thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity to come before you and to give honor and glory to your holy name. We love you and thank you for all that you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. Continue to be with your servants, watch over us, and bless us as we seek to do that which is right in your sight and to fulfill the commandments that have been given to us as we've been commanded to observe the new moons. So therefore, this is the reason that we're together this evening. We thank you again for blessing us with the verification of the new moon. And we ask that you would continue to bless your servants. We thank you for all things that you've done for us. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. Hallelujah. As is customary on the new moon, we're commanded to blow the shofar. And going to have that done right now. We'll blow the shofar. That's why I use the same one. Oh no. That was actually the shofar blowing by a Maasai tribe in Kenya. So that's unique. Four sightings in Trinidad, sighting in St. Lucia, and the Muslim sighting in Australia. So we sanctify the new moon. This if you take the throne and selective scriptures in hand. We will read Psalm 81. It says, sing aloud to Elohim, our strength. Make a joyful noise to the Elohim of Jacob. Raise a song and bring here the timbrel. the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day, for it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the Elohim of Jacob. He appointed it in Joseph for a testimony when he went out over the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I knew not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I proved you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify to you, O Israel, if you would listen to me. There shall no strange Elohim be in you, neither shall you worship any foreign hell. I am Yahweh Elohim, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people listen not to my voice, and Israel would not submit to me. So I let them go after the stubbornness of their heart, that they might walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their enemies. The haters of Yahweh would pretend submission to him, but their doom would be forever. He would feed them with also the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock would I satisfy you. Almighty Yahweh has commanded us to come together on the new moon. It's not a feast day, it's not a Sabbath, but it is a day that work can be done, but it is an ordinance and a statute in Israel that we come together to keep the new moon, to not only verify it, but to observe it. And we observe it by having a service and blowing the shofar to honor Yahweh according to the commandments. And this message is entitled Rosh Kodesh Bo. The feast days of the seventh month are over. So in the eighth month, it would seem there is nothing going on, but that is just not so. If you'll turn over with me to 1 Kings chapter 6. And we'll look at, verse 37 and 38. It says, in the fourth year was the foundation of the house of Yahweh laid in the month Ziv. And in the 11th year in the month Bul, which is the eighth month, was the house finished throughout all the parts of it according to all the fashion of it. So he was 7 years in building it, speaking of the temple. 7 years it took them to build the temple. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, we had some questions concerning that, which we looked at. But the term bull is number 944 in the Strong's, and the definition is in the sense of rain. Now what happens is you're still at a time, it's between the early and the latter rain, because you have your latter rain going on towards the equator and the Holy Land all through November, December. November, December, you have your earlier rains prior for the harvest, but then the grounds are more or less moistened. And I mean, some of the latter rains can be very violent, you know. But here is a serious downpour to cleanse the land, you might say, but it prepares it for that crop in the spring. The John Bull also is number 945, and the definition for that is increase or produce. And like I said, the definition, it has a couple different ones, but it's in the sense of rain, 944, and increase or produce in 945. So rainy, the eighth month of the year, later called Marshavan, the name Bull has reference to rain since the eighth month was between early and latter rains, as I said earlier. And the number eight stands for a new beginning. You have the physical rain as well as the spiritual rain falling on Yahweh's people. Observe the last high holy day, which was the last great day. And on that day, we normally teach and preach about the waters that issue out of the sanctuary and what's going to happen in the eternity. But the waters that are so plentiful in the eighth month signifies well the Holy Spirit as well as the moisture that is given. One of the things that we see, it's Holy Spirit is compared to water, actually the living water, Mayim Kayim in the Hebrew. And this is a month to focus on the living water and receive all that the Spirit pours on us that we may grow like the produce of the earth. We actually have that living water of Yahshua with us always. But this month, the physical and spiritual are happening together. Turn to John chapter 4. That's John chapter 4. Actually, I'll start in, this is a passage we're familiar with, but I want to start in verse 1. It says, "When therefore the teacher knew that the Pharisees had heard that Yahshua was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Yahshua himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And it was necessary for him to pass through Samaria. So he comes to a city of Samaria called Shechem, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Yaakov, or Jacob's well, was there. Yahshua, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yahshua says to her, 'Give me to drink.' But his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore asked him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, a worshiper of Yahweh, ask drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And that's pretty standard. They have very little dealings with the Goyim, the Gentiles, or people they feel are Gentiles. Yahshua answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of Elohim and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman says to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself, and his sons and his cattle? Now, think right now of just put yourself in the place, the setting, with this Samaritan woman. And, you know, they have a limited understanding, which Yahshua is going to expand on and teach them more of what Yahweh is about. Because truly he is greater than Jacob. And Yahshua answered and said to her, everyone that drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. See, this, as I said earlier, this month is where we have the Holy Spirit being compared to water. Actually, the living water, the Mayim Kayim. You know, we're focusing on the living water and receive all that the Holy Spirit pours out on us that we may grow like the produce of the earth. We want to flourish. We want to flourish. And for us to flourish, we must utilize the Holy Spirit that Yahweh has given us in our lives, and look to everything that he is trying to teach us and direct us in, because what we want to do is keep all of Yahweh's commandments, and this is why we're keeping this day and this Rosh Kodesh Bull. We're keeping the new moon of the eighth month. Now in verse 15, the woman says to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come all the way here to draw. And Yahshua says to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said to him, I have no husband. And Yahshua says to her, you said well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This have you said truly. The woman says to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, when she talks about her fathers, and she's a descendant of those that had been placed in the land after Israel had been taken into Assyrian captivity, and they were placed, Israel was placed in the cities of the Medes by that river, okay, where Persia is, and they were taken from there and placed in Samaria, which was the capital of the 10 northern tribes. Okay? But her fathers would have been taught by those priests that were left in the land, because the people who had been placed in the land were being savaged by the beasts, the lions and whatnot that were in the Galilee and, you know, the northern part of Israel. Yahshua said to her in verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. It's very important that we understand that he's saying that it's coming. The hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. And, you know, Jerusalem is supposed to be the capital of Yahweh's worship. Yahshua is trying to impress upon her that it's a spiritual thing. You're going to worship. Verse 22, he says, you worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is of Yahudim, the Jews. And I take it a step further, because salvation is of the worshipers of Yahweh, because even in Jerusalem today, like I said on many occasions, the Jews do not worship Yahweh. Very few of them worship Yahweh. They will use Hashem. They will use Adonai. They rarely use Yahweh's name. There's a ban against the name to worship Yahweh. Now, the Spirit being given means that we have a greater understanding . In verse 23, it says, but the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such does the Father seek to be his worshipers. Yahweh is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And this is what Almighty Yahweh is looking for. He's looking for people who are worshiping, seeking to worship him in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 16, turn with me over there. John 16, verse 5. It says, but now I go to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. They were upset that he was leaving. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, if it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send it to you. And it, when it has come, will convict the world in respect of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father, and you behold me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. Now the world, and it's important for us to understand this, has received the judgment. And that judgment, okay, John chapter 3, keep your finger over in 16, but in John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, he that believes on him is not judged. He that believes not has been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For every one that does evil hates the light, and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been worked in Yahweh. And truly, that's where we are. We want our works to be worked in Yahweh, because we are trying to be faithful in everything that Almighty Yahweh has shown us. Okay. Turn over, and I'm going to take something from one of my other future messages, but turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Like I said, keep your finger in John 16, but turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 1 it says, but there shall be no gloom to her. There shall be no gloom to her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought in contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made it glorious by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased their joy. They joy before you according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the plunder, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Midian. For all the armor of the armed man in the tumult, and the garments rolled in blood, shall be for burning, for fuel of fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty El, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from now on, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform it, will perform this. Back in John 16, it says in verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. They weren't ready to have their minds open to understand the things that Yahshua wanted them to understand. He said, however, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it shall guide you into all the truth. For it shall not speak from itself, but whatever things it shall hear, these it shall speak, and it shall declare to you the things that are to come. So this is why it's so important for us to not only have the Holy Spirit, but to develop it within our lives. And we know that we do that by reading the words, by studying the law of Yahweh. In John 6, it talks about that these words are life, they're spirit. In John 6:63, it says, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And we have to keep that in, we have to understand that and keep that in the forefront of our minds as well. In verse 14, it says, it shall glorify me, for it shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. All things whatever the Father has are mine, therefore said I, that he takes of mine, shall declare it unto you. Very important for us to understand what Almighty Yahweh is trying to share with us. He wants us to understand that the Spirit of Yahweh is what we need to overcome this life and Satan the devil. It's that Spirit that we need to be able to move mountains, which are governments, to move peoples, to cause them to turn from their wicked ways and to seek him, And that's our purpose. We have a purpose. Yahweh didn't just call us into his marvelous light just for our own personal benefit. Yes, we're going to benefit, but we have a job to do, each and every one of us that's a part of this organization. In Romans chapter 8, turn over to Romans 8 and verse 1. It says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in the Messiah Yahshua. For the law of the Spirit of the life of the Messiah made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a separation between these two laws. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There is a great separation between the two. And that's why there's always a distinction between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. So when we are looking at things, and I'm not just talking about reading labels, because we want to make sure that we maintain our kosher state and things of that nature, but we want to do it on a spiritual level. And that spiritual level is following after Yahshua the Messiah. Yahshua always did things to please Yahweh. And if we try to emulate him and walk in his footsteps and do the things that are pleasing to Yahweh in that vein, then we will be very, very successful. Because we'll be walking after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, for they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And this is why we are seeking to be the holy seed. Okay? It says, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, nor indeed can it be. And they that are up in the flesh cannot please Yahweh, for you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of the Messiah, he is none of his. So that's why each one of us has to maintain that spirit that we've received, that down payment at baptism. And if the Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up the Messiah Yahshua from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. That's why it's so important that we have that Spirit. And not only have it, maintain it. Make it grow by studying the Word of the Almighty Yahweh. See? That means the more we grow in the Spirit, the less we want of this physical life. Verse 12. It says, so then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if you put the deeds of the body to death by the Spirit, you shall live. But we're talking about overcoming that second death. For as many that are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, these are the sons of Elohim. And that's why we are constantly going back to that point of being the children of Yahweh. And if we're his children, then we are endowed with his Spirit. We have to live a different type of life. We cannot live like the rest of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 1. Are we beginning again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as do some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, being made manifest that you are a letter of the Messiah, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living Elohim. That's what makes us different from the rest of the world, brethren. That Spirit of the living Elohim. Not in tables of stone, but in tables that are hearts of flesh. And we have such confidence through the Messiah toward Yahweh, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from Yahweh, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death written engraved on stones came with glory, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly upon the face of Moses for the glory of his face, which glory was passing away, how shall not rather the ministration of the Spirit be with glory? For if the ministration of condemnation has glory, much rather does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For truly, that which has been made glorious has not been made glorious in the respect by reason of the glory that surpasses. For if that which passes away was with glory, much more than which remains in glory. Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness of speech, and not as Moses, who put a veil on his face, that the children of Israel should not look steadfastly on the end of that which was passing away, but their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains. If not being revealed to them, it is done away in the Messiah. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies upon their heart. But whenever it shall turn to Yahweh, the veil is taken away. Now Yahweh is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of Yahweh, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from Yahweh the Spirit. Brethren, we know that Almighty Yahweh is truly blessing us with this living water. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is compared to water. And that living water, the Mayim Chayim, this is the month to focus on the living water and receive all that the Spirit pours out on us, that we may grow like the produce of the earth. And we actually have that living water, Yahshua, with us always. But this month, the physical and the spiritual are happening together. And we have to prepare ourselves to receive all that Almighty Yahweh has prepared for us. We're going to close. Over in 1 John. First John verse 4. Let's start in verse 1. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of Yahweh, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit that confesses Yahshua the Messiah has come in the flesh is of Yahweh. And every spirit that confesses not Yahshua is not of Yahweh. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it comes, and now it is in the world already. You are of Yahweh, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now remember this, brethren. And you need to remember this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of Yahweh. He that knows Yahweh hears us. He who is not of Yahweh does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. As we seek to keep Almighty Yahweh's covenant law each and every day, we want to concentrate on the Spirit, because that Spirit of Yahweh is going to lift us up. That Spirit of Yahweh is going to make a division between us and those that are not keeping the covenant. It's going to be like that distinction is going to be so great. It's like night and day, like light and darkness. Think about when people approach you, and what they try to do is to pull you in a certain direction. They're trying to pull you away from Yahweh. And that goes back to what we've been studying and the series that I preached on, Connected to the Source, because the devil is very crafty, and he wants you to violate any and all covenants you have made with Almighty Yahweh. And that's going to take us to the next message. So we'll prepare and on Sabbath go into that. But a lot of this is going to come back to us then. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you've taken time out to serve Him, and I'll ask, looks like he's gone. I was going to ask Willie to close with a word of prayer, but I'll do that. So if you will humble your hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace again. Father Yahweh, we come before you, thanking and praising your name for giving us the verification of the new moon, the Rosh Chodesh of Bull. And we thank you, Father, for blessing us and directing us into your word so that we would understand that there is a reason for this month and the Spirit, the living water that is being, as well as represented by the rain that is falling and will fall this month. So prepare your people, Father, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. And we want to do always that which is pleasing to you, Father Yahweh. And we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And we ask that you would continue to bless us, that your word would have free course in us, and that it would help us to grow spiritually so that we would be used for your honor and glory, Father, as you prepare people for the return of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And it's in his holy name we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Yes.
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 Let
me shut this down real quick. Now, Brenda's not on, but everybody else is. Let me stop.